Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today, Top of the Hour, 1 o'clock East, 12 Central. Craig Mish, David Matic with you with our headlines here on the show. As Chris mentioned, here in South Florida, where I live, a big headline here today is Manny Diaz, head coach of the University of Miami, being let go. And Mario Cristobal, who used to play for the University of Miami, will be the new head coach. He will leave Oregon, so Oregon will have an opening, which does lead me to an interesting question that I have for Davis about the NFL. But before we get there, let's get to our headlines here. Tonight in the NFL, probably the best Monday night football game, at least on paper, of the season. We'll see if it plays out that way with the bad weather expected in Buffalo. They are -2.5 against New England. Denver, Chicago headlines tonight's 10-game NBA slate. Brett will be locked into that, no doubt. In college basketball, we have Illinois taking on Iowa. Oklahoma names Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables their new head coach. Had so much success at Clemson for a decade and now ends up leaving Dabo and ends up coaching Oklahoma. Now, Davis, you may think that that is my question for you here on the show about your Oklahoma Sooners, or maybe even about the University of Miami Hurricanes, but I am not going there. I am going with the big surprise yesterday. I don't get this one at all, unless it's flirting with a college team, Davis. I'm still sold on Joe Brady being a good offensive coordinator. I mean, are you kidding me? They fired him from the Carolina Panthers? Did they really think that he was going to make Sam Darnold into Joe Burrow? I mean, this is a head-scratcher for me. Maybe change in philosophy, change in opinion. There's some people speculating that he wants to take a college head coaching gig, or maybe even something else, and the Panthers just were sick of it, let him out of it. I did not see this one coming.
I did not see this one coming at all. It became sort of clear after, after it happened, why it happened, which is head coach Matt Rhule basically said he doesn't understand the NFL game. He said he wants to be trying to run between 30 and 35 times per game. The team had not been able to get to that number of rushing attempts. So basically, he just thinks that, and I assume it's probably a philosophical debate between Joe Brady and between Matt Rhule and Matt Rhule one, which is, we want to run the ball more. And, you know, obviously I think just means that Joe Brady has eyes and he's opening him and saying, hey, you kind of got to pass the ball to win today. And, or you don't have to pass the ball, but you have to be able to pass the ball effectively, especially if you want to be able to run that often. So I think he'll be a good hire. I will say though, a lot of our perception of Joe Brady is, it's being colored by the fact that he coached the Heisman Trophy winner, a first-round draft pick NFL running back, a first-round draft pick Justin Jefferson, first-round draft pick Ja'Marr Chase, second-round draft pick Terrace Marshall. That was the offense that he coached to a national championship at LSU. So, you know, I see it both ways. Little bit of trivia here, though. You know where Venables grew up, Craig?
No idea.
Salina, Kansas. Same hometown as me. My hometown guy, coaching my favorite university. I have to say, I honestly do not know that much about him. In terms of like, I know that he is a, he's more of a defensive minded coach, and I assume that he will be bringing someone in to kind of call the offense. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to feel that optimistic about the hire, given how amazing of a coach. I mean, the last 25 years, their coaches were Bob Stoops, one of the greatest college coaches ever, Lincoln Riley, one of the greatest offensive coaches ever. So big shoes for him to fill, but it is nice to at least have that little connection.
Any opinion on tonight's game? I still maintain, as much as I love New England, that this is the last shot. Unless Buffalo plays Tampa Bay, Davis, I know this is really going to put you in the future. Unless Buffalo plays Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, this will be the last time Buffalo will be less than a 3-point favorite in a game in the NFL, I maintain, this season.
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, my thought on this game tonight is that the Bills are the better team and that the market loves to overrate the Patriots one, because they're a brand name, right? You know, they are one of those public teams that we talk about. The market loves Bill Belichick, right? The public and the market loves Bill Belichick. People are falling over themselves with praise for Mac Jones. Like, it's like a competition between big NFL media personnel to see who loves Mac Jones the most. And the Bills are just a better version of the Patriots, right? They play really good defense, but they have deep passing that the Patriots don't have. And they have, are Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, would they play over Devin Singletary and Zach Moss and Matt Breida for the Bills? Sure, they probably would. But Stephon Diggs would be the best player on the Patriots offense by 9 miles. You know, I mean, he's so much better than anyone else there. And I think one of the things the Patriots haven't got punished for is a total lack of speed on offense. They have no one fast, just no team speed on offense. And I think that is going to be a problem for them tonight.
All right, we'll see. Buffalo -2.5. Keep an eye on the weather. We'll have it covered for you coming up later on Scott Farrell's show, also on In Game Live. All right, coming up next, the rivalry continues between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. One of the final times, potentially, we will see Ben Roethlisberger face off against the Ravens. It's been a great rivalry. Of course, we have our fantasy or reality and a whole lot more, so make sure you stay on the grid. As a reminder, we're here every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 Eastern.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
On Fantasy Sports Today, on tomorrow's show, we'll recap the Monday Night Football game and, of course, dive back into some NBA. So make sure you stay on the grid for that as well. But coming up next, our fantasy standouts, as we hear from Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, next here on Sports Grid.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not very often you'll find the Baltimore Ravens Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry with a point spread of more than three. That was the case yesterday, as Baltimore was -4.5 against Pittsburgh. Of course, this one went on the side of the underdog, as Pittsburgh, in a last second 2-point conversion, is able to stop Baltimore to pick up probably their biggest win of the season. Big Ben Roethlisberger. Some rumors over the weekend that he may not be back next season. He threw for 2 touchdowns, 21 of 31, 236 passing yards. Najee Harris, 71 on the ground, 5 receptions, 36 yards. Deontay Johnson continues his great season, 8 receptions, 105 yards and 2 scores. And Chase Claypool had 2 receptions for 52 yards. Naturally, after the game, Mike Tomlin glowing about the win and also glowing about the big rivalry victory.
You know, whether we like it or not, I'm talking about us and the Ravens, man, we're tied together. You know, it's been some significant games. It's about the men that have played in these games, the standard that they hold the current players to. You know, guys like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and others, guys on this side like Alan Faneca, Troy Polamalu, man, those gold jacket types that I had an opportunity to watch for 15 years that really kind of set a standard in the series that we all have to play to and uphold, and we're appreciative of that. Hopefully we made those Steeler alumni proud with our efforts tonight.
Good reminder, I think, for the future. Whenever you see this line more than three, just take the other side. You'll probably end up covering or winning. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, boy, he has just not looked himself at all over the last few weeks. I'm not sure why. 23 of 37, 253 passing yards, 53 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Devonta Freeman continues his resurgence with 52 on the ground, 5 receptions for Freeman, 45 yards and a touchdown. Marquise Brown was 5 for 55. Sammy Watkins, a rare important fantasy appearance, scoring a touchdown, 4 receptions, 39 yards. And unfortunately, disappointing day for Mark Andrews, 4 receptions, 50 yards, and just about, 12 inches from catching a 2-point conversion that would have given the Ravens the win, Davis, at the end of the game. Harbaugh goes for 2, doesn't get it done. I think we kind of know who both teams are at this point, but I know that you're very still bullish on Lamar Jackson. I'd love to know your thoughts because, I mean, this is not just 1 week or two. It hasn't looked great for him recently.
No. I mean, it has looked absolutely brutal. He is down to 7.6 YPA, 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He also has not really been running like Lamar Jackson has. You know, for his career, he averages, about 6.4 yards per carry. He's down at 5.8. I mean, he still does lead the NFL in yards per carry, but it just looks a little bit different for him as a rusher. I have a couple thoughts here. The first is the Ravens, more than any other team, they have just been destroyed by injuries. They have 9 players on injured reserve. 6 of them would have been starters, right? So they're week one starting line at Marcus Peters, Derek Wolf, a couple of interior defensive linemen, a linebacker. They were missing their primary blocking tight end this last week. They suffered an injury to Jimmy Smith in practice. He's one of their starting corners. Then Marlon Humphrey is their other starting corner. He got hurt in the middle of the game. So I'm not looking to make excuses, but the Ravens are basically one of the most banged up teams in the NFL. So I definitely think one that has influenced their overall team performance, and clearly it influenced Harbaugh's decision to go for 2 at the end of the game. I mean, he's basically looking at his sideline and he sees, you know, guys, looking like a MASH unit on his sideline, right? Guys on the oxygen tank, guys going to the locker room. And he's like, you know what? Let's just get this over with. And anyone who has watched Mark Andrews for any period of time, they know that guy loves to drop a pass. Mark Andrews loves to drop a pass wide open. I love Mark Andrews, went to the University of Oklahoma, made me a lot of money his rookie year. But he really, he just loves to drop a pass. It is what it is. And I you know, there's not really a big fantasy takeaway from this because Devonta Freeman is not going to be on this team next year. It's going to be Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. But if you picked up Devonta Freeman this year, I mean, you have been reaping the rewards. He is clearly the lead running back, 14 carries, 8 targets, 70% of the snaps for them yesterday. He's going to be a very sneaky league winning style guy if you picked him up off of waivers this year. And kind of the converse for Najee Harris. I mean, he is just dusted off the last month of the season. He has scored one touchdown over the last month of the season. His targets went from about 21% of the offense down to about 15% of the offense against Cincinnati. He got benched early and just looks. I mean, he's fine as a runner, but he can't overcome the context of the team that he's in. And this offense, really, outside of the occasional magic from Deontay Johnson, is just no good. I mean, this was a really ugly game of football to watch, basically.
Yeah, and not to make an excuse for Najee, but the dude played 6 games last year, you know, and only 12 the year before. And you know, I mean, this is a big grind on a team that will grind you. That's what Pittsburgh has done. But big win for them yesterday, at least on the surface. All right, now the most exciting game of the day was another game I talked about yesterday on Sports Grid, fighting with Dave Sharapan about, was Seattle-San Francisco. I could not understand why the 49ers were only a short favorite. Why? Because Vegas knows. Seattle at home gets it done, despite Gerald Everett's best intentions, Davis, to literally give this game away. I don't ever remember a tight end single-handedly attempting to give a game away. Boy, was he brutal. Russell Wilson, 30 of 37, 231 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Travis Homer had a fake punt for a touchdown, so sort of ignore that one. Tyler Lockett, 7 for 68 and a score. Metcalf was targeted a lot. He didn't catch a lot, but he had 5 for 60. And then D. Eskridge continues to pop up on our leaderboard every once in a while. He had 3 for 35 and a touchdown yesterday. On the side of San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo was 20 of 30, 299 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, pretty much who he is. Elijah Mitchell started off fast but slowed down as the game went on. He had 66 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 18 yards, and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk, another completely silent first half, had 3 receptions for 55 yards in the second half, but Davis was right on the money with Kittle this week. Boy, was he unbelievable. 9 catches, 181 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Kittle was probably the top player in all of fantasy football this past week. He was just an absolute star. But Davis, you know, that's why they make these lines weird, man. You know, like Seattle, like no one gives them a chance, but they're at home. And look, let's also be honest about the 49ers. They were gifted this game like how many times, and they couldn't win this one. Seattle actually was really not good, but they ended up picking up the win. But that's what made the game fun, is just they just kept giving the ball back to each other. It was probably the most exciting game of the day.
It was. I mean, Gerald Everett was basically shaving points in this game. I mean, how brutal was he? Sure. So Jeff Wilson Jr. and Jamichael Hasty played 4 snaps yesterday. 4 snaps. I mean, Eli Mitchell, Kyle Shanahan loves Eli Mitchell. So if you spent all your fab, you know, literally you could have gone 100% on your fab for Eli Mitchell the first week of the season, and he would have been, I mean, he would have paid off in spades. He's going to finish as a top 10 running back. He is incredible. They give him red zone opportunities. He's working in the passing game. He is doing everything. George Kittle, you know, what I said to you guys on the Sunday morning show is, I said, without Debo, they got to have someone to throw the ball in the middle of the field because Jimmy cannot throw to the hashes. 12 targets, best game of George Kittle's career, highest scoring fantasy player yesterday in the main slate. And probably going to end up being the highest scoring DFS player of the entire week. So we love to see that from Kittle. And, you know, if you have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, I guess some positive signs there, but just a weird, I mean, the Travis Homer punt touchdown, one of the weirdest plays you're ever going to see in the NFL. That was so bizarre.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, man. Like of all the players that tried to give a game away this season, I know you. It didn't happen in terms of what you said there, but you would think so. Like that ball was, he hit him in the chest and he literally pops the ball right up in the air for the other team to intercept it. And then on the one? I mean, are you kidding me? We'll hit on the Washington Las Vegas game next. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, David Maddock, good to be with you here on this Monday. Well, Washington, Las Vegas probably couldn't have ended any other way with a field goal being attempted at the end of the game. Just something to remember for the future. Yes, the Raiders lost this game, but only by a few feet as this kicker for Washington, who they signed off the street this week, kicked a 47-yard field goal to win. Taylor Heinicke threw 30 passes, completed 23 on the way to another Washington victory, 196 passing yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Antonio Gibson got the workload we expected. He had 88 rushing yards, five receptions, 23 yards, and a touchdown. Unfortunately, Logan Thomas, who helped you in fantasy, got injured and will miss the rest of the season. He was 3 for 48. And then John Bates never knew who he was until seeing this morning. Three receptions, 42 yards. For the Washington football team. On the side of the Raiders, Derek Carr was 28 of 38, 249 passing yards and 24 rushing yards. Josh Jacobs had 52 on the ground, also nine receptions for 28 yards. Kenyon Drake was also injured in this game. We'll have to monitor that one too. Hunter Renfrow continues his surge with no other options in the receiving game. And Daniel Carlson, one of the better kickers in the NFL, by the way. I don't think this guy ever misses a kick, Davis. He was 3 for 3. With a 52-yard field goal. So, in the end, not the most exciting game. It did go down to the wire. Very, very low-scoring game, Davis. But Washington, I know this is like sort of maybe one of your nightmares coming true, because the first month of the season, it looked like Washington was going 3-14. Now, all of a sudden, they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, as long as the Giants finish fourth place in the division and the under on their win total hits, I don't think that I can be too upset. Couple interesting running back usage things here. Antonio Gibson, career high snaps. He played 55 snaps, 82% of the snaps, five snaps for Wendell Smallwood, four for Jarrett Patterson with no J.D. McKissic. He was heavily involved in the passing game, targeted six times. That was the most on the team. So, look, it took us until week 12, week 13 of the NFL season, but you are finally getting the running back one that you drafted all the way back in August. And then basically the same thing on the Raiders side of the ball, 13 rushing attempts for Josh Jacobs, one for Kenyon Drake, zero for Peyton Barber, two targets for Kenyon Drake. He got hurt, one target for Peyton Barber, but nine for Josh Jacobs. I mean, this usage would unlock him as a running back one at fantasy. He played 50 snaps. That was 85% of the Las Vegas Raiders snaps. I mean, if these two guys keep up that workload towards the fantasy football playoffs, they are going to end up being guys who propel you across the finish line, because that passing game usage is just so important.
All right, let's move on to another game that was pretty much over before it started. The Rams and Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags did not have the luck they've had previously coming back in this one. Matthew Stafford threw three touchdowns. He was very efficient, 26 of 38, 295 passing yards. He did mention an injury in the game, too. We'll just have to watch that this week. Sony Michel filled in for Daryl Henderson, who was active but did not play. 121 rushing yards for Michel and a score. Cooper Kupp, another monster day, 8 for 129 and a touchdown. Van Jefferson scored as well, 6 for 41 and a score. And Odell Beckham Jr., 2 for 28 and another touchdown with him as a member of the Rams. Matthew Stafford was asked about extra contributors in this game yesterday, specifically Sony Michel's big 100-yard day.
Yeah, I got to give Sean a lot of credit. You know, that was a great game plan we had in this game. And then really the guys that, you know, were asked to play more than they played probably this season stepped up and played great. You know, Sony, I thought, ran the ball really well. You know, kind of going into the week, see the plan unfold, and I'm like, this is a Sony Michel type of game. You know, like, he's just going to slug it out, wear on these dudes. I thought he was great in the pass game, too. Gave him some opportunities in the pass game, did some nice stuff. But I get a great view from where I'm at of him running the football, and some of those 4, 5, 6-yard runs are just – things of beauty. And, you know, he's a heavy guy. You know, when he starts running, I think the defenders feel it. So I was happy for him. I thought Joe Noboom, when he was asked to step in there, played really well. And really all of our tight ends play well as well. So I'm just happy for our guys. Happy that, you know, we were able to come out with a win.
All right, now on the side of Jacksonville, unfortunately, not a lot of garbage time, which was surprising because basically the Rams were up 3 touchdowns for the majority of the game. Trevor Lawrence, 16 of 28, 145 passing yards and 10 rushing yards. Carlos Hyde scored the lone touchdown for Jacksonville. He also fumbled in this one, too. Laquan Treadwell is this week's leading receiver for the Jaguars. It seems to change every week, and Laviska Shenault Davis got 6 fantasy points. But Stafford back in a big way. Jacksonville basically was the perfect antidote for the Rams to sort of get themselves healthy. I would expect the Rams to play much better. They had had a hard time over the last month, but it seems like this was what they really needed to get back on track.
Yeah, I mean, no better team to get back on track against than Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, just crushing it here. You know, Odell is a full-time player here in this offense. They did get Ben Skowronek back. He was out injured last week. So we talked on the show about how Van Jefferson and Odell each only subbed out for one snap last game. They were each able to get more of a breather. 78% of the snaps for Van, 53% of the snaps for Odell. They played Skowronek 24%. And they also brought in, you remember Bryson Hopkins? He used to be their backup tight end. Then McVay decided he didn't like him. He'd been inactive every game this year until this game, came back and played 21% of the snaps, which I think was mostly related to the score. You know, they just played Sony the entire game. Mekhi Sargent got in for 2 snaps in the fourth quarter, but Sony led all running backs this week in snaps played and total percentage of snaps played. I do think Daryl Henderson will be back next week when they play against the Cardinals, but you do sort of feel like Henderson has been in and out and banged up and not banged up. Like, Sony probably has earned himself a slightly larger share of that rushing pie, which is it's bad for both of them, really, because Stafford doesn't really check down to the running backs, and that would be Daryl Henderson's role, but doesn't look like Henderson's role. Just doesn't look like that role really exists in this offense. I will say, Odell looked pretty good to me. Looked pretty spry, got open pretty good. I you know, we talk a lot about guys just getting hot during the fantasy football playoffs and that determining a lot of it. I mean, you can very easily see a scenario where Cooper Kupp just kind of settles down and Moore is getting 18 points per game instead of 25 points per game, and Odell just gets deep for a couple long touchdowns. So I held on to Odell and all my fantasy teams through his journey through the desert there, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. And then on the Jaguars, I mean, I literally have they have 0 fantasy starters. I mean, you could start James Robinson, but it's 2 games in a row he's been benched for a fumble, played fewer snaps than Carlos Hyde here. It's just all bad. And I am raising the worry scale from 0 to a 2 out of 10 on Trevor Lawrence's future.
Wow. Didn't see you saying that. Yeah, I gave up on Beckham a while ago, and so he's proven me wrong for sure. All right, so after watching the entire day of football, Davis, you know, had the final night of Hanukkah last night with the kids and was asked to check out on the Sunday night game. So I did do that, knowing that you'd be watching for me with the Kansas City Chiefs. But shocker to see Denver doing nothing in an NFL game. Shocker here. Patrick Mahomes, 15 of 29, 184 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Edwards-Helaire, 54 on the ground, 3 receptions, 28 yards. And Darrell Williams got about 10 fantasy points last night. He had 3 receptions, 60 yards, 20 rush yards. Harrison Butker always seems to come through, 3 for 3 and a 56-yard field goal. Now, on the side of Denver, if I showed you these numbers, you would think maybe Denver won this game in by showing the stats. Seems like that's always the story with the Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater, 22 of 40, 257 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. With Melvin Gordon out, Javonte Williams was who everyone has been waiting for. Obviously, the big question is, will this continue? 102 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. One of the better running backs in fantasy. Jerry Jeudy with a decent game, 4 for 77, and Noah Fant, 4 for 33. So just from the outset, Davis, it just looks like neither team was particularly interested in getting aggressive. I don't know. And then, you know, in terms of Denver, I mean, I honestly don't even know how they win games. I suppose, you know, they find, they're like a squirrel finding the nut every once in a while, like they did last week against the Chargers. But you got 102 yards rushing from Javonte Williams. 6 receptions, 76 yards, and you don't even get 10 points. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it all came in the second half, and the Broncos are probably the most fragile team in the NFL. Big win against the Chargers, they got up early. Big win against the Cowboys, they got up early. Win against the Washington football team, they got up early, right? All the games that they've won, they got up early, because then the defense can play downhill, the offense can use lots of play action, they can run, and they do not force anything on Teddy. What happens when they're down 10 points? What happens when they're down 7 points? Well, then they have to pass the ball. The play action doesn't work as well. You can't run on first and second down when you're down 10 points and things completely go away. The Chiefs are just a bummer. I mean, that's just really what it is. They took a long, hard look at themselves in the mirror and they said, we can't win a Super Bowl playing like we used to play. What's the goal of playing football? It's to win the Super Bowl. Let's try to play better defense. Let's control the ball on offense, short passing, keep the ball in front of us. It's a bummer. It sucks. You know, Byron Pringle on the old Chiefs, he's the clear wide receiver too now, up to 72% of the snaps last night. But on this new version of the Chiefs, he's useless because they don't even pass the ball enough. So it really bums me out. It just makes me sad.
Do you think Gordon comes back and it's 50-50 again or no?
Gordon will come back and he will play more than everyone in fantasy football wants him to. But I do think Javonte probably has earned the larger share now. But Gordon's still not going anywhere.
Yeah, it hasn't been like that all season, with the exception of this past week. All right, coming up.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's time for a little fantasy or reality, so stay on the grid with us. We got plenty more to come. Who's the NFL MVP? We'll tackle that next. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for all of the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, and our fantasy content on all of our shows, including our program, Fantasy Sports Today, The Early Line, The Morning After, In Game Live, Scott Farrell, and all of our great programming here on SportsGrid. That's follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Davis, before we get to fantasy or reality, I have some very upsetting news for you. Tyrod Taylor going to miss this week for the Houston Texans. Davis Mills going to take on the Seattle Seahawks this week. So I know that this is devastating news to the fantasy community, but we'll just have to get through this week with Davis Mills.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a subset of people out there that really like Tyrod Taylor for whatever reason. And certainly I think that he was not, you know, horrible for what was his name? Brandon Cooks' fantasy value, but the Texans. What a terrible season for the Houston Texans. I mean, just one of the most anonymous, disappointing. And they have no hope for the future, right? They don't have picks. They don't have any star. I mean, they just have nothing. I cannot imagine being a fan of the Houston Texans.
No. Somehow got two wins already this year. I don't think people saw that as well. All right, let's kick it over to Brett Levy, standing by after the Hanukkah weekend here for some fantasy or reality.
All right, guys, we had another fun Sunday in the NFL, but we're going to start off with the Indianapolis Colts because Jonathan Taylor has been on a tear. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Jonathan Taylor is the NFL MVP. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, this is a fantasy. I don't really think the Indianapolis Colts record would be all that different if Marlon Mack was there running the ball for them. And I don't mean any disrespect to Jonathan Taylor. He's fantastic. It's just sort of the nature of how the sport works. I don't even know if Jonathan Taylor should be favored to win NFL Offensive Player of the Year, which a lot of the times they do give to a running back or to a wide receiver because the MVP has become such a quarterback vote. I actually think I'd probably give it to Cooper Kupp for offensive player of the year. The MVP right now got to be considered Tom Brady. I do think Dak or Kyler could win it if either of them ripped off an undefeated run for the end of the year. And the Buccaneers, like taking a look at their upcoming schedule, Brady would definitely have to keep it up. They play the Bills, so if they lose to the Bills and Brady doesn't look great in that game, and if they lose to one, no, their schedule's too easy. I'm looking at it right now. It's too easy. There's no way. He gets to close the season with Saints, Panthers twice, and the Jets. Brady's winning the MVP. So it's done. Or write it right. Go bet it right now. Well, you can still get it at plus money. It's been written in the stars.
Yeah, I don't know why you waited 2 minutes to just give me that last 10 seconds, which is exactly what it is. Not only that, Davis, even if somebody else deserved the NFL MVP, they're not going to win it. I mean, you know who votes for this thing. Tom Brady is definitely winning the MVP. He could throw 3 touchdowns and 3 picks every game the rest of the season, and the writers are going to vote for Brady. It's 100%. It's done. Taylor's having a great year, and for fantasy football purposes, we talked about this. I would guess he's the number one overall pick going into next year. But you're already up against it, going up against the name in Tom Brady, and sometimes the stats, I don't even think that they even matter as much. So you'd have to find like people who don't like the individual in order for him not to win, and I don't think you're going to find 10% of the writers that have some sort of beef with Brady. Why would you? There's nothing to have beef about. So, Brett, this is a fantasy. It's not going to be Taylor. Great year. But even with Taylor rushing for 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, as long as Brady finishes out the season decently, I think he's winning it. Davis is correct. Reality. Fantasy.
All right. Well, we just spent all that time talking about Tom Brady. Now it's time to talk about Joe Brady. Craig, this is your guy. You've been a big Joe Brady fan since the LSU season where he won the national championship. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Joe Brady will go back to college football. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is actually pretty tough because of the timing of this. This is sort of odd timing where there's only a couple of openings in college football that he would have a choice to go to. If I'm not mistaken, the most high-profile one at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, Brett, would be Oregon, with now Oregon end up losing Mario Cristobal to Miami. And the other thing about this, Davis, is that the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, I forgot to mention it previously, is how many times is a head coach, an assistant coach, interviewed for head coaching jobs in the NFL, and then 3 months into an NFL season, get fired as the coordinator? Like, you just don't see that a lot. It seems odd to me. I don't know what Brady's intentions are. I'm going to say fantasy, and here's why. Brady probably could have coached in college as a head coach last season. He chose not to become a coordinator in the NFL. This is probably the contrarian take to all of this, but I'm going to say he wants to stay in the NFL, and I'm going to say there's a chance he still even gets a gig as a head coach in the NFL. I mean, how many openings are we going to have next year? 3, 4, 5? So I'm going to say he stays. Fantasy does not go back to college.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of the openings here and thinking, okay, which of these would make sense given the type of offense that we think Joe Brady is going to run, given some of his connections. I don't think he is an option for the Oregon job, and I don't think he would want to take some of the Colorado State, Fresno State, Temple, Virginia. Like, it feels like those jobs are less prestigious than being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Certainly, there are going to be a fair number of NFL coaching jobs available. You know, I think that the Jets are you know, chance that Sala is one and done there. I think Urban Meyer is probably gone. The Raiders are going to need a new coaching staff.
The Bears.
You know, the Lions. Yeah, the Bears. The Bears are going to need a new coaching staff. Yeah, so probably 4 or 5 job openings. And you know what? The Vikings. Zimmer's done. You cannot bring Mike Zimmer. Yeah. You cannot bring Mike Zimmer back after how bad. Denver. Yeah. Oh, Denver for sure. Lock that, especially because I believe their ownership consortium deal is just about to be finalized. So they'll need a new head coach, and they'll definitely want someone that could entice Aaron Rodgers to come, because the most recent things I've heard is that Rodgers is not leaving Green Bay, where at least he likes the coach and likes some of his teammates, to go deal with Vic Fangio and this ownership problem. That's the most recent update I got. So, yeah, I don't see the job opening in college football. And do you want to go be a college football OC? I mean, that's for like Lane Kiffin. That's like when you go really burn out. So I'm going to say fantasy, and I'm going to say he either takes a year off and waits for a really good opening in college football, you know, an SEC job or the Texas job, maybe something like that. But it's not in college football next year. So I will say fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, Lincoln Riley, considered probably one of the best coaches in all of college football, takes an unknown Kyler Murray, and he ends up winning the Heisman on his way almost to a championship. Brady does the same exact thing with Joe Burrow at LSU, and you're telling me that guy's not a good offensive coach? I'm sorry. I don't know. The whole thing is just wackadoo to me.
All right. Our last question is brought to us by the great state of North Carolina, where someone accidentally filled out the same lottery ticket, and he took it home, the winnings, twice. So he fills out his lottery ticket. He's at home watching the basketball game, sees that they're going to do the drawing, forgets if he filled out his lottery ticket or not, fills it out again, and has 2 winning tickets. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You have bought lotto tickets. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Definite reality. I love to gamble. Everyone knows it. Love DFS. Love season-long fantasy. Love all the games on Underdog. Love going to the casino. Love poker. I love the thrill of the chase. I love the games of chance. Now, obviously, lottery tickets are one of the most minus EV ways that you can spend your money in general. But I am not above it. I don't do it often. You know, some people have like their appointment. They play the same numbers. They go to the same gas station. Yada yada. Not one of those people. I don't even go to the gas station that often. I don't leave my house that much, so I don't have to get gas in my car all that often. But yeah, reality, I have bought a lot of tickets. One of my really good college buddies was one of these people who, you know, every time the Powerball got really high, he'd be like, oh, we got to do a pool. We got to buy like 500 tickets. Everyone get your money in and we'll split it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of tickets are fine. And in Missouri, they go directly to our schools. So at least I can tell myself that I'm supporting a good cause when I buy them.
Yeah, this is definitely a reality for me too, but very specific since we're on the subject. Like, and it's probably the dumbest time to buy lottery tickets, but Davis, I need to see like the pot is like 3 times as big as it normally is for me to go out and do it, which is the exact opposite strategy you should have. You should definitely get in when it's only 1 million because you'll have less people playing. But I don't really take it all that seriously. It's like when I see the billboard and I'm driving by and it says like 75 million in the Mega Millions here in Florida, that's the time that, of course, I go in and I buy. But I got to tell you, if you ask me this question for 2021, I would say fantasy. And I gonna say that 2020 would be fantasy also. I think it's been a couple of years now. My kids love the scratch off ones, so every once in a while I'll go and I'll buy four or five if they can turn a buck into five, just to have some fun. But the actual lottery tickets, Davis, I would say very rarely. And I'm stupid enough to wait for it to get to like the big money where everybody's now involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I've not. 2021 would be a no for me as well. I probably haven't done it in a while. I mean, I don't know. Like, and I always tell people, like, oh, when I go to the casino, I don't really play table games. I just play Texas Hold'em, which is like the lottery is like a mass version of table games where you know you're losing money like 99.9% of the time. So it's just, you know, but it is kind of fun. The thrill of the chase is fun.
All right. Well, obviously Brett's bought lottery tickets this year, I'm guessing. So this is probably why it's come up. Brett is still waiting to win that lottery. So, you know, he can just disappear on us for the rest of the year. That would be a guess for me. All right. We'll take a quick break here on FST. We've got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And as a reminder, Davis and I are here every day from noon to 2 Eastern. On tomorrow's show, I believe George Kurtz will be in for Davis. And then I'll have my normal Wednesday off, so it'll be Davis and George. And also, if you've been missing our Sunday morning show, you got to tune in, because myself and Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker, we got you covered as we get toward the fantasy playoffs. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern right here on Fantasy Sports Today. On tomorrow's show, we'll have our daily fantasy preview of the NBA over on FanDuel, and we'll also recap the Monday Night Football game between Buffalo and New England. And of course, as we get closer to the college football playoff, Davis and I will take a close look at what could potentially happen. Maybe we'll have a new national champion coming up here in 2022. Two games, by the way, for those of you who like going out on New Year's Eve, playing the games again on New Year's Eve this year. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. As we close out our Monday show, reminder, I'll be back here tomorrow with George Kurtz as Davis takes the day off. Looking forward to talk to you then. But before we go, let's get a Sports Grid 60 out of Davis before he...
So we were going through a lot of the fantasy results and kind of got started thinking about the fantasy football playoffs, because we're right about there. The regular season has ended. And I was just thinking, who are really the league winning players this year? Well, Cooper Kupp, obvious. Jonathan Taylor, very obvious. I think Eli Mitchell probably deserves to be on that list. But I was thinking, okay, guys in the playoffs, right? Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way, another one. A couple of the guys I'd really want on my fantasy football team heading into the playoffs, Alexander Mattison. Definitely one of them, with Dalvin Cook banged up. Sony Michel now, I think we're going to see a little bit of a flippening there in the backfield. And Elijah Moore of the New York Jets, slow start to the year, but clearly a number one wide receiver that lots of people got for free. But I'm just very fascinated and really looking forward to the fantasy football playoffs this year.
Let's not forget Debo Davis, one of the MVPs of, of fantasy Debo. Football this year. Yeah. All right, so I lost money this weekend, but I never really had it. Not really sure how to feel about all this, but as those of you who may have followed, here in Florida, the Hard Rock Sportsbook ceased operations, or at least suspended operations. As I've mentioned here on the show, I had Bill Belichick 12-1 to win the Coach of the Year. My bet was refunded, and after reaching out to them directly, they basically told me they could not honor any futures bets in the NFL. Now, I'm kind of sad. Don't know if I should feel mad about this or not. I mean, betting is kind of, you know, strange when it comes to this sort of stuff. But one of the bigger bets that I could have cashed in on potentially at the end of the season is no more. So did I really lose the money? I don't know. Hard for me to figure. Thanks again to our friends over at LTN. Thanks to Danny and Ryan on our graphics department. And, of course, our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mitch. Hope you have a great Monday. Enjoy the football game tonight. See you tomorrow.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?
Nah.